Who am I? A look at myself and my character, priorities and responsibilities. This booklet is a guide to the moral part of step 4, made a searching and fearless financial and moral inventory of ourselves. Taking a look at yourself for the first time may appear to be a frightening experience, but it need not be. It is true that step 4 says to take a fearless moral and financial inventory, but it is also a step we should be taking one step at a time. This guide is to enable you to take that first look at yourself. First, let's break the inventory down into 3 parts. Character, priorities, principles and responsibilities, feelings and emotions. Now, buy a school exercise book. Instructions for the whole inventory. 1. Divide your book into the 3 parts above. 2. Write down everything. 3. Do it alone without prompting from anyone. 4. Be honest with yourself. Only you will suffer if you are not. 5. Doing it for the first time? Just do the scoring in part 1. Just read part 2. Just take actions in part 3. And then stop. Put away your inventory for at least 24 hours. Remember that even asking the question, "Who am I?" should be tackled just one day at a time. 6. Share it only if you want to. As this will be only the first of your inventories, you may not be ready to share it yet. 7. Save it and look back at it from time to time. 8. Don't try and do it all in one go. Take an hour each evening when you can sit down quietly, no TV. It may take 2 or 3 weeks or even longer. 9. Do a new inventory at least yearly. Try not to look back at previous attempts until you have done a new inventory and then compare the 2. Remember that this step is taking the moral inventory. You are not expected to do anything about it right now. Just for today, I will not tackle my whole life problem once. Part 1. Character. Here are the instructions. 1. Write down each character. Read each of the strengths and defects and, with minimum of thought, mark each 1 out of 10. In each case, 0 equals bad and 10 equals good. So for example, if you are 100% honest, score 10. If you are totally selfish, score 0. 2. Doing it for the first time? Mark a score for each strength and defect of character, but write down nothing else. 3. Read the strengths and defects again, and this time write a paragraph about each in the space provided. Here are some hints on what to write. Each one can be seen in 3 ways. Behaviour, a way of acting. Individuality, those qualities that make one person be different and act differently from another. And moral, in agreement with a standard of what is right and wrong in character or conduct. And from 3 points of view. Your own, your partner's, parents or children, and then everyone else. 4. Now mark each quality again. Have you improved or lowered your marks? Think about the differences. Was it because you were not entirely honest the first time? Or is it that, by being more thorough, you have learnt more about yourself? Each time you do the inventory, you will find you mark yourself differently on some of the qualities. It will reflect the flow and changes in your character that are going on all the time. 5. Finally, make a list with the highest at the top. You can now see how balanced your character is. Make a short list of the lowest scored qualities. Keep it short, don't make it long, or you will find yourself drifting into self-pity. You will need this when you tackle steps 5 and 6 of the recovery program later. Here is the list of the strengths of character. Tolerance. Putting up with the opinions or behaviour of others without necessarily agreeing or sympathising. Honesty. Being fair and candid in dealing and talking with other people. Being open and sincere. Dignity. A state of worthiness, honour and self-respect about one's general appearance and manner. Humility, regardless of ability, fame or fortune, the state of mind that one is not better than another person. Industriousness, the giving of an earnest, hard-working, diligent and steady effort to all challenges undertaken. Optimism, the tendency to take the most hopeful view of matters or expect the best outcome regardless of circumstances, the practice of looking on the bright side of things. Forgiveness, to give up the wish to punish or get even with, to pardon or excuse. Responsibility, obliged or expected to account for, ability to tell right from wrong. Consideration, to be thoughtful of others and their feelings. Friendliness, on good terms, not hostile, the quality or condition of being friendly. Communication, ability to transmit and receive information and feelings and understanding through talk, gestures or writing. Charity, being kind and generous in the giving of help, understanding and compassion to those in need. Add any other strengths of character for yourself. And here is the list of defects of character. Selfishness, having such regard for one's own interest or advantage that the happiness and welfare of others becomes of less concern than is considered right or just. Alibi, to minimise, pardon or excuse a wrong, a fault or an action as though it weren't important. False pride or arrogance, an excessive belief in one's own worth, merit or superiority that is unjustified. Phoniness, presenting oneself to be something one is not, manifesting this through actions, words and deeds, an imposter. Procrastination, postponement or putting off saying or doing those things that must be done. Laziness, not willing or eager to work or exert oneself, doing only the minimum that has to be done in order to get by. Coarseness, not refined in feelings, manners, language or taste. Self-deception, the act or fact of fooling oneself, self-delusion. Condemnation, to criticise or condemn, being judgmental. Insincerity, not honest or candid, deceitful. Impatience, not willing to bear delay, opposition, pain or bother. Add any other weaknesses of character for yourself. Part 2, Priorities, Principles and Responsibilities. Instructions, doing it for the first time? Read this section only, do not write anything down. On future occasions, it is better to be thorough on one question than to write just a few words on them all. Come back to difficult questions later. Just for today, I will not tackle my whole life problem at once. 1. To myself and my greater power. One cannot be right for other people until right for oneself. In order for this to happen, there must be an inner feeling of self-esteem and a feeling of belonging. When you become one with your own higher power, happiness and peace of mind is the result. A. Have you honestly faced yourself and examined your strengths and weaknesses? B. Write a description of yourself. C. After reading the description, can you say that you would choose a friend fitting that description? D. Would you say that you are neat and clean, both of mind and body? E. Imagine a model person possessing all the qualities that you would make him a desirable friend. How do you compare? F. How would you describe your general attitude toward life? G. Do you believe in a power greater than yourself? H. Write a description of your greater power, whatever you conceive it to be. Be thorough. I. What do you will or wish for yourself? J. What do you think your greater power wills or wishes for you? K. Is there much difference? L. Would living the life designed by your greater power be fulfilling? M. Do you believe you can become one with your higher power? 2. To my family. Through the family, one can satisfy all the basic needs of a human being. To love and be loved, to cherish and be cherished, to provide and be provided for, to give and receive, to feel wanted and feel needed. All the basic needs of a human being can be realized through the interaction of a family who love one another. A. Write a short description of the love and caring you have for each member of your family. B. Write a short description of what you think each member of your family feels about you. C. Do you reveal or show by words and actions the feelings you have for each member of your family? D. Are you responsive to the material needs of your family? E. Are you responsive to their emotional needs? F. Do you share your thoughts and feelings with your loved ones, and do you allow them to share their feelings and thoughts with you? G. In what way do you set an example to your children? H. What do you do to earn their trust? I. Write a description that would best describe your family life. Do you think that each member feels as though he or she is a vital part of it? See if you can determine whether each member enjoys peace of mind and happiness as a result of being a part of the family. J. What do you feel you can do to improve the general well-being of your family? 3. To my job, vocation, or profession. The largest part of the person's life is spent performing his or her job, vocation, or profession. A person's profession plays a vital role in the total picture relative to one's general well-being. All too often, this area is looked on as a necessary evil rather than as an area to help achieve fulfillment. A. Do you enjoy your job? If not, why not? B. At the end of a day's work, do you feel that you have accomplished anything? C. What rewards do you think you acquire from your job? D. Do you give it your best effort? E. How can you become better at what you do? F. Do you think that you are in the right job or profession? If not, what do you intend to do about it, or have you accepted that you cannot do anything about it? 4. To my goals, dreams, and aspirations. A person with goals has hope. Happiness and a healthy state of being are natural byproducts in the pursuit of worthy goals. A hopeless person merely exists. The person with goals, dreams, and aspirations lives life fully. By envisioning ways to rise above yourself and achieve that which is just out of your grasp, a healthy state of being is maintained. The thrill of living is not so much an achievement, but attempts to achieve. The pursuit of goals fosters confidence, enthusiasm, and courage. At day's end, a person may be comfortable in the knowledge he or she lives 24 hours with serenity. A. What are your goals of life? List them and write a description of each. B. Which of these are realistic, achievable, and are worthy of your time and effort? C. Would the pursuit of these goals interfere with your other responsibilities? How? D. Are you doing anything positive to achieve these goals, or are you just wishing they happen? E. Do you have a definitive plan to achieve these goals? What is your plan? F. What actions are you taking on a daily basis to achieve these goals? G. What price are you willing to pay to make these goals a reality? Will it be worth the price? 5. Friends, neighbours, and community. Our general well-being benefits from actions that we have with friends and neighbours and the part we play in our community. It offers us the opportunity to be an integral part in the general scheme of things. It is a great sense of fulfillment to feel you can be working and an integral part of the community of mankind. A. Make a list of your closest friends and write a description of your feeling towards each. B. Is your action and behaviour towards them consistent with your feelings? C. Can you accept them for what they are, or do you find yourself critical of their shortcomings? D. Are you there when they need you? E. How would you describe your relationship with your neighbours? F. What do they think of you? G. What is your role in your community? H. Do you take part in any community activity, such as charitable work, neighbourhood committees, or school associations? I. What do you do as an individual to make your community a better place in which to live? 6. Special interest areas. There are many other areas in life that apply to an individual that hold a high priority. We all have them, but they are different for each one of us. If they are all good, if we enjoy them, and they are important to us, then we should pursue them provided they do not interfere with the well-being of others. A. Make a list of all your special interests and describe their benefits to you. B. Do they have any value other than pleasure? C. Can you financially afford them? D. Do the other members of your family have an interest in them? E. Does doing these things place any hardship on your family? F. Do you ever find that you are shirking responsibilities in other areas of your life in doing these things? In what way? Part 3. Feelings and emotions. Instructions. Doing it for the first time? Read the instructions and the list of feelings and just tick those that you think you could improve. Then stop. Put away the inventory for at least a day and forget about it. Feelings, whether positive or negative, are not defects of character. Feelings are a result of how we have handled situations in the past and are the result of our programming over the years. Feelings can come over us without a moment's notice. All feelings, whether positive or negative, are very natural and serve a definitive purpose. Whatever your feelings are, they are not unique. The question is, how do we deal with them properly? Feelings only become a problem when we become consumed with them, and if and when this occurs, it is usually because we have failed to understand them, failed to acknowledge their existence, and failed to do anything about them. Feeling is a list of feelings. They are a mixture of good and bad and not in any particular order. Check each one for the effect on me. If a good feeling, am I feeling it when I should? If not, why not? If bad, do I suffer from it? Does it affect my thinking? Needs action. After writing the effects on you, tick those needing action, but do nothing. This comes in steps 5 and 6 of the recovery program. Guilt or remorse, feeling responsible for wrongdoing. Happiness. The continuing state of feeling good. Joy. Magic moments of pleasure and happiness. Being on an emotional high, close to ecstasy. Anger. More than just annoyed. Resentment. Anger at people or situations that affect our ego. Contentment. Feeling comfortable, at ease. Fear. The state of being afraid. The effect of all or many feelings bearing down on us. Frustration. Unable to do what we want to do, either from our own weakness or from outside causes over which we have no control. Love. Refers to more than one level of relationship. Love of nearest and dearest, love of friends, love of all mankind. Hope. The future is worthwhile. A steady drive towards sensible goals. Hatred. Unreasonable dislike of another human being or ourselves. Gratitude, a feeling of being thankful. Envy, wanting what others possess. loneliness, isolation, feeling alone, drawing into ourselves. Pride. I am capable of doing things well and I know it. Depression. May mean serious clinical depression or a feeling that the world is against us. Freedom. A feeling of being able to make choices. Sadness. May mean grieving at a loss or in an unhappy state. Suspicion. Mistrustful of the intentions or actions of others. Worry. Concern about a future outcome. Add any other feelings to your list. Conclusion. Even after the first look at yourself, if taken in the spirit of a search for truth, you should have a basic overview of what you are made of, what you stand for, and where you are going. Each time you do a bit more of your inventory, you will learn more about yourself. The main thing is, you have made a start to sort yourself out in an orderly and thorough fashion. It is a starting point for a meaningful and manageable life. But a starting point is all that it is. The task lies ahead. It is the task that stimulates growth, and growth brings happiness, and happiness means love, and love is truth, and the truth shall set you free. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.